Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
You know, never in a thousand years would I have ever thought that God would use me this way, just in my worship. And it just goes to show you that when you're obedient in the little things and in the secret place. Because I spent about a year at my grandma's house, and she was the one that actually taught me how to worship and taught me the reason behind worship. And I would just spend hours down in the basement, because that's where the room I stayed in. And never in a million years would I ever thought God would do something with it or use it. But I just want to challenge you to be obedient with the gifts and callings that God has given you. And the more that you use it, the more he's going to give it. And he's just going to keep going. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to little side note. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, O God, because you are good and you are awesome. And you are in control one way or the other, oh God. But right now, we just ask that you would just calm our hearts and our minds, oh God, that to receive what you have, and that you would just use me on this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, when I was asking God, well, actually, it was kind of funny on kind of this whole scenario and me preaching tonight, because about a week and a half ago, my wife's like, when are you preaching next? And not the next day, my brother texted us and was like, who's preaching? And I was like, all right, God. And God had been putting Joseph on my heart at the beginning of the year. Has just kind of been Joseph, and Joseph is the life of Joseph is what I've been meditating on coming into the year. And I'm like, okay, God, what is it? Why Joseph? And then I was meditating back on some of the other passages, and it's just a word of encouragement. Because a lot of the times we as Christians, you know, it's always do this, do that, this is how you should act, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. But very rarely do we get encouragement about moving forward, about standing in the midst of the trials, believing in something that God has instilled in us from a very young age, and trusting that he is going to fulfill that promise or fulfill what he showed us. So I want to give a little precursor. We all know Joseph. At a young boy, God gave him several dreams of basically his family members bowing down to him and him being a ruler. And so I want to start in chapter 39. I'm going to kind of skip through the prerequisites of him going and getting sold into slavery. Genesis 39, verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar had bought him from the Ishmaelite traders who had taken him there. Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's officials. He was the captain of the palace guard. The Lord was with Joseph. He gave him great success. Joseph lived in Potiphar's house. Joseph's master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw that the Lord gave Joseph success in everything he did. So Potiphar was pleased with Joseph. He made him his attendant. He put Joseph in charge of his house. He told Joseph to take good care of everything he owned. From that time on, the Lord blessed Potiphar's family and servants because of Joseph. He blessed everything Potiphar had in his house and field. So Potiphar told Joseph to take good care of everything he owned. With Joseph in charge, he didn't have to worry about anything except the food he ate. Joseph was strong and handsome. After a while, his master's wife noticed Joseph. She said to him, "Make love to me." But he said, "No, my master has put me in charge," he told her. "Now he doesn't have to worry about anything in the house. He trusts me to take care of everything he owns. No one in this house is in a higher position than I am. My master hasn't held anything back from me except you. You are his wife. So how could I do an evil thing like that? How could I sin against God?" She spoke to Joseph day after day, but he told her he wouldn't make love to her. He didn't even want to be with her. One day, Joseph went into the house to take care of his duties. None of the family servants was inside. Potiphar's wife grabbed hold of him by his coat. "Make love to me," she said. But he left his coat in her hand, and he ran out of the house. She saw that he had left his coat in her hand, and he ran out of the house. So she called her servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew slave has been here to make fun of us." I'm going to drop down. Dun, 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 dun. Drop down to verse 18. Or verse 16. No, I guess that's right where I wanted to be anyway. She kept Joseph's coat in her until Potiphar came home. Then she told him the story. She said, "That Hebrew slave that you brought us came to me to rape me, but I screamed for help. So he left his coat beside me and ran out of the house." Potiphar's wife told him, "That's how your slave treated me?" When Joseph's master heard the story, he became very angry. So he put Joseph in prison. It was the place where the king's prisoners were kept. While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He was kind to him. So the man who was running the prison was pleased with Joseph. He put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. He made him accountable for everything that was done there. The man who ran the prison didn't pay attention to anything that was in Joseph's care. The Lord was with Joseph. He gave Joseph success in everything that he did. And as I was meditating on it, I'm like, okay, God, what is it? What things first? And the first thing he told me was to look at it from a human perspective. Because after all, we are all human. And Joseph had a dream. God gave him a vision, gave him a glimpse into his future. People hated on him. People were jealous. But Joseph maintained his composure. He stayed faithful. He stuck with it. He did what he was needed to do. He got sold into slavery, the bottom of the barrel. But from a human standpoint, there was probably a lot going through Joseph's mind. Why God? Why God? But somewhere along the lines, he decided that he was going to stay focused on the promise that God had told him. Or the glimpse. Somewhere along the line, he decided to regain his focus or stay focused in the midst of the storm. And as we look at Joseph, the first thing that we notice is he stayed consistent. Once he figured out his mindset, it didn't change. And even in his valley, in the lowest parts of his life, he continued to trust God. He continued to believe in what God had given him. And so we look at it, we see his dedication, but in his trials, we start to see God start to prepare him. God's given him leadership roles, giving him favor, but he had to stay focused. That's the key. And he stayed focused onto the little promise that God had given him. But what happens? Test came into play. His character was challenged. But he maintained his character through it all. And I heard T.D. Jakes say something, and this is how you know when God puts something out there. Because I'm focused, I'm thinking about Joseph, but every time I turn on something, YouTube, my wife's always got Stephen Furtick, T.D. Jakes. What's the other one you listen to? Michael Todd, and there's one other one you listen to. But it was like everybody was talking on Joseph. And they were all different time periods, too. When you look at the date, the time stamp, one was 2 years ago, one was this year. But the one thing, T.D. Jakes said something about Joseph. He said, Joseph went to the king's palace. Well, the king's palace is the dead end. You don't get out unless the king says so. And so through it all, he's maintaining his character. He's maintaining what little focus he has. We don't know the struggle, but we do know he is human. Put yourself in his shoes. A lot of us go through those similar situations. I know I did. Getting a shop, losing a shop, going, you know, 5 different shops in 15 years, dealing with different managers, different employees. It's just a roller coaster. And you're like, okay, God. But the one thing that we learn is consistency in character. And we see what happens. He goes to Potiphar's house. He gets whatever little focus he has, he gets it. And God starts doing something in him. Elevates him to second in command. But the meantime, he was learning something. He was learning how to lead. He was learning how to be the best that he could be in the situation that he was given. And then his trial happened. Then he went to jail, the place of no return. Some of us feel like we hit the dead end and we got no place to go. But he maintained his character. He maintained the fact that he was innocent in the sight of God. And it held true because God started to elevate him. God started to elevate him. And he moved up in the jail cell. And then things happen. He meets other people. People come into territory. And he was in there a few years. Because if we read on, it was 2 or 3 years before they went back in front of Pharaoh for his dreams. But he maintained his character. And when the time was right, when God's time was right, when God knew it was going to be ready, he gave Pharaoh the dream. Then what happened? The same two guys that he met remembered. The one died and the other one remembered. But it was in God's timing. And the whole time, we see his character remain intact, even to the people that did him wrong. When he comes back to his brothers, maintaining our character. But he just continued doing what he knew how to do, and that was to serve. Because he served in his father's house. He served in Potiphar's house. Now he's in the jail. But now he's serving in front of a king. He maintained his character. The other thing that we can look at in hindsight and keep in the back of our minds as motivation is, you notice how he started off in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife did him dirty. But now he's in charge of Potiphar. But he also didn't go back to do him dirty, even though he was second in command. He maintained his character. I tell my guys all the time at work, I say, don't compromise your morals when you're slow. Because when you're busy, it's not going to be as good. It's not going to be the same. The dedication is not going to be there. The love's not going to be there. And being in the auto industry and being at the shops that I've been at, that's what happens. Is people when they're slow, they start to nitpick everything, selling things that people don't need. They compromise their morals. They compromise the things that are right to try to get ahead, to try to get in the head. But in the end, you're just losing. And people see what you do when you're slow, or when times get hard. Those are the times that people start to notice who you are. Hallelujah. The other thing that God told me was he knew who he was. Joseph knew who he was. And he told me that when you know who you are, you don't have to ask for permission. Because if you look at Joseph's life, all he did was maintain his character, maintain his belief, do what God wanted him to do. And he never had to ask for permission for anything. He just kept getting promoted because he maintained his right standing in God's sight, despite what everybody else said. And so we move into, you know, he's in the other thing we can take away from this is the fact that when we arrive at our destination, it is not just for us. And that's the one thing that we cannot stress enough as believers, is it's not just for us. Michael Todd, we were watching one of his podcasts or whatever you want, and he had a service, and I was moved because he was talking about miracles, and he said that they have to be tangible, visible, and personal. And I was trying to figure out how that was relating to this, but it was Joseph. He became visible when he became second in command, and his brothers didn't recognize who he was. It became tangible when he was put in charge of all of the crops for Egypt, and then the rest of the world. It wasn't just for them. It was for the rest of the world. And it became personal when his family stepped into the picture. And so we have to remember that when we go through our life cycles. How can I be the best me today? How can I be the best me in the valley? When I'm at my lowest point, how can I let God shine? How can I walk in righteousness? How can I maintain? But it's remembering who we are. Because we are children of the King. We are heirs to the throne. And then lastly, his dedication. His dedication to be the best. Everywhere he was at, he was trying to be the best son. His father said, go bring me reports. Tell me what your brothers are doing. He was following instructions. He was being obedient, doing what he needed to do. He went to Potiphar's house. He was being obedient, doing what he needed to do. Dedication is the key to increase. Dedication weeds out those who really want it. Yeah, I want to shop. Yeah, I want to do music. Yeah, I want to do acting. But it's the dedication. It's the slow times. You know. I look and see the way Dad was growing up. He was the same man when he had when he had plentiful as when he didn't have, as when the lights were being turned off. Was the same man, the dedication day in and day out. You know, and I thank God that I got adopted into the Franklin family. Because, and I don't take it for granted, because I see how hard that our parents worked to keep us out of trouble, to do, you know, to raise us in a godly way. And there were times where I went astray, thinking I could do it on my own. But realizing that it's my dedication to Christ, realizing that it's my calling, realizing that it's my anointing, got me focused, got me back on track to keep me in the lowest times of my life. Because sometimes it's going to feel like we're alone. Because there were times where he was probably feeling alone, you know, sitting down in the well, in the caravan, probably just starting out at Potiphar's house, because he was 15, 17 when he was sold, and he became a leader when he became ruler of Egypt when he was 30. That's a 15-year period. You know, Jesus started his ministry at 30. So we got to endure the hardships and stay dedicated to what we want. And lastly, do what you know to do, because God has given us the power to do it. That's the easiest way to stay focused. It's just do what you know what to do. If it's cleaning, clean. If it's doing music, do music. If it's acting, act. If it's being a lawyer, being a lawyer. If it's being a student, be a student. Because the seasons are going to change. They have to. The seasons are going to change. Nothing lasts forever, except when we die and go to heaven. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a couple of ones I missed. I forgot. Dedication builds character. That's the other thing. When you're dedicated to something, it builds your character one way or the other. Tears you up or bring you down. But as children, as children of the King, as believers, as Christians, whatever label that we want to put on it, we know who we are and where our dedication lies. But I just want to say, be encouraged. Because the valleys don't last forever. At some point, you're going to have to start climbing the mountain. And my swimming coach used to always say, the view from the top is worth the climb. Because that shows your dedication. That proves your character, your willingness to push through the obstacles, your willingness to overcome, your willingness to get bruised and beat and knocked down and slip and lose your footing. Hallelujah. And the last thing I'm going to leave with is, things in this life are not going to stop the progress. Because if God has put a calling on your life, if God has said that you're going to do it, ain't nothing in hell that's going to stop. The only thing that's going to stop it is us, is ourselves. Because if we flip the life of Joseph around, had he had not done what he was supposed to do, he probably just got stuck at Potiphar's house getting beat every other day. But because he stayed focused, God was with him. And he moved. And he kept progressing. And he kept progressing. You're going to run into roadblocks. But we got to keep pushing. There's a Rocky quote that I love. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. Because Jesus himself told us this walk isn't going to be easy. We're going to have trials and tribulations, and especially for his name's sake. But then we have this thing called life that happens. We have other people that are going to say things, that are going to do things, that are going to be a thorn in our side. They're going to be a roadblock. We may have to turn around and go another route, but we can't stop. We can't stop because somebody doesn't like us. We can't stop because we don't feel motivated. If we don't do it, somebody else will. And God will use somebody else. So it's better that we just focus, get it done, and figure it out. If I'd have never said, yes, God, I'll preach, he'd have just got Tamron to do it, even though he does it. He'll just find somebody else. But Joseph decided he was going to stay the call. He was going to stay focused no matter what it took, you know. And the Bible is filled with trials and tribulations. But the ones that believed were the ones that overcame. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, oh God. Just thank you that you are good, that you are awesome, oh God. And I just pray right now, oh God, a special prayer for everyone in here, oh God. That you would just comfort them, oh God. That you would just help them find the focus that they need, oh God. In their valleys, oh God, that you would just find them. And that you would just continue to work your perfect will in and through their lives, oh God. And that as they're obedient, oh God, I pray that you would continue to reward their obedience, Father God. That you would continue to open doors, oh God. Because it is you, oh God, that make us stand before kings. You are the one that opens doors that no man can close. Even when the enemy tries to lie on us, oh God, you are the one that continues to keep us. So we just pray right now, oh God, that you would just keep each and every one of us, oh God, and that you would continue to use us, continue to grow us, continue to take us to the next level, and just continually remind us, oh God, that you have called us according to your perfect will and your plan.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.